Hey, folks, do you ever feel like you can't do anything about the illegal immigration crisis? Now, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the difference between compassion without wisdom and compassion with wisdom on this specific issue of illegal immigration. I want to talk about the two questions every compassionate and wise Christian should ask about any immigration plan. And I want to talk about the five things you can do starting today. Hi, I'm Brad Bright, and this is the God is the Issue podcast, where we show how God is the issue in every issue. Now, in my last episode, I talked about three kinds of compassion. Pretend compassion, which is really false compassion. It's designed to mask a hidden agenda, and it's really not compassion at all. Second is blind compassion. Now, it is real compassion, but it is unwise compassion. And anytime you're unwise, of course, that makes you a what? A fool, according to the Bible. The third type of compassion is wise compassion. And wise compassion always benefits you and others. Now, Jesus said we're to be as shrewd as snakes, but as innocent as doves in Matthew 10, 16. In other words, be compassionate, but don't be foolish. Now, today I want to talk about what wise compassion looks like when applied to the issue of illegal immigration. A wise and compassionate solution must always consider as much as possible all the parties that are impacted, not just one, not just the illegal immigrants. Now then, here are the first of two questions that we must ask if we wish to find a compassionate but wise solution for illegal immigration. Here it is. Does the immigration policy consider everyone who is negatively affected or just illegal aliens? See, does it recognize the countless Lake and Rileys who have been raped, assaulted, and murdered by illegal foreigners? If it doesn't, then not only is it unwise, but it's immoral. So the question is, who, in addition to illegal aliens, are cruelly affected by an open border? Well, the first, of course, and we've referenced it, are Americans who are assaulted, raped, or killed by illegals. That's the category that Lake and Riley is in. You see, almost 2 weeks ago, she was a student at UGA, 22-year-old nursing student. She was murdered by a Venezuelan illegal foreigner while she was out for a jog. The guy beat her so badly that her skull was disfigured. Now, that's just one of the most recent violent slayings by an illegal alien. Now, last week, Rep. Katie Porter, she's in California. She's running for the U.S. Senate. She said, I think the important thing to focus on is any one instance shouldn't shape our overall immigration policy. And the instance that she was referring to, of course, was Lake and Riley. Now, I agree with Katie. Immigration policy should not be shaped by just one instance. Now, the exception should not determine the rule. We've all heard that the exception should not determine the rule. And that is what Katie was referring to. But if you've been watching the news recently, almost every day, it seems we hear about another instance of assault, rape, or murder of an American by an illegal. May I give you some real numbers that really reveal the dark underbelly of illegal immigration today? In Texas alone, between 2011 and 2024, 950 illegals were charged with homicide. 64,000 illegals were charged with assault. 299,000 illegals were charged with criminal offenses. You know, these 299 instances of criminal offenses, keep this in mind, include only illegals that the Border Patrol had previously fingerprinted and released. Did you catch that? These were only the people that had been fingerprinted and released, not the folks who snuck across the border. So I agree with California Rep. Katie Porter's criteria. One instance should not shape our immigration policy. However, I wonder if she would agree that 299,000 instances should. How many more Lake and Rileys will have their heads bashed in by illegals before U.S. Senate candidate Katie Porter will admit that our immigration policy is truly immoral? Now, there's a second category of folks, and these are fentanyl addicts. Fentanyl addicts whose addictions are enabled by whom? By the Mexican cartels who are smuggling fentanyl across our open southern border. In 2021, the CDC reported that fentanyl and other synthetic opioid overdoses killed more than 70,000 people in the U.S. Folks, that's a lot of instances. I wonder if Katie Porter would agree that the deaths of 70,000 fentanyl addicts in 1 year would qualify as enough instances to help shape immigration policy. Now, there's a third category, young migrant girls being sex trafficked. And then there are people who are living in overrun border towns. And then Americans who are struggling to find a job because of the glut of illegal aliens in the U.S. And then taxpayers who pay to house and feed illegal immigrants while struggling to house and feed their own children. And then finally, one more category I want to address that's a little different than all the others. And as Americans who will be killed by terrorists, by the terrorists who crossed the open border in the last couple years. You've heard of Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, and Iran. They hate us. They call us the great Satan. They've already demonstrated at 9/11 that they are willing to die in order to kill us. And what do? We rolled out the welcome mat for them at the southern border. Do you really think that we won't pay the price for being stupid? Folks, this is not an exhaustive list, but it's a really good start. But folks, that leads us to the second question, which is considering all the above that we've just gone through. What border policy is best if we want to be both wise and compassionate? And the answer is any immigration policy that allows us to vet every single potential immigrant before they set foot on U.S. soil. Now, that helps protect not only Americans, but the millions of deserving immigrants who will be welcomed into this country. So let's apply this grid to the various immigration alternatives. And the first one we're going to look at is the open border policy. Does an open border policy demonstrate wise compassion? Does it vet every potential immigrant before they enter the U.S.? And the answer, of course, is no. Almost no one gets vetted before they come in. Do you remember the stats I gave you about Texas? And in fact, since the open border policy is the primary cause of an increasing number of preventable rapes, assaults, homicides, drug overdoses, and forced prostitution, it is the problem. It is immoral. When you look at it that way, it is clearly immoral. You see, the open border policy is the primary cause for the death of Lake and Riley. Her blood is on the hands not only of one illegal alien from Venezuela, but also on the hands of every politician who does not oppose an open border policy from this day on. It is the primary cause of 64,000 preventable assaults in Texas. It is the primary cause of 70,000 preventable fentanyl overdoses. Folks, it is absolutely immoral when you look at it from that perspective. But let's go on to the next possibility. What about the stay in Mexico policy? That's one Donald Trump used, but let's not talk about who was for it, who was against it. Let's just look at it from the perspective, is it both wise and compassionate? Folks, it would greatly reduce the illegal aliens flooding across the border. It would greatly reduce those who are coming across who are not vetted. See, a majority of the illegal aliens would then be vetted before being admitted to the U.S. And folks, that's wise. But folks, it doesn't vet immigrants who still sneak across the border and don't get caught. It would probably reduce the number of 15-year-old girls forced into prostitution. And folks, that's both compassionate and wise. It still allows terrorists to slither across the border. That's not so good. It still allows a lot of fentanyl to be smuggled across the border. That's not so good. But it will probably reduce the number of Lake and Rileys, but it won't stop them altogether. So folks, it's a step in the right direction from where we are today, but it will not stop a lot of the preventable violence and drugs inflicted on Americans by illegals. So the third option is what? Is to build a wall. Again, Trump was a lightning rod on this one, and I don't want to talk about whether you're for or against Trump. Let's just forget about that. The only question I want to ask is it wise and compassionate? Now, I think the Pope would say that it's not compassionate since he said building walls is not Christian. He was very clear. However, folks, there's still a really, really big wall on the southern border of the Vatican State today. So you really can't take the Pope too seriously on this one. Besides, the Old Testament is full of examples of Israel building walled cities with God's blessing, especially Jerusalem. They built walls for protection. Maybe we should learn something from them. In the book of Revelation, the new Jerusalem has what? It has high walls, 12 gates, and angels posted at every gate to do what? To keep some folks out. Maybe we should learn from the book of Revelation. Folks, protective walls are seen throughout the Bible. They are in the New Jerusalem that God himself will build. And folks, they surround the Vatican State. So much for the Pope's statement that walls are not Christian, unless he's trying to tell us that he's not Christian, but I'll leave that up to you. But how would a wall affect our southern border? How would it affect both Americans and illegal immigrants? And let's be honest about this. It would prevent most immigrants from entering the country without being vetted first. It would make it much harder for terrorists to enter the country. It would make it much more difficult to smuggle fentanyl across the border. And over time, it would probably drive down the number of rapes, assaults, and homicides committed by immigrants to near zero as we weed out the undesirables. And folks, it would keep Americans much safer. It would help keep Lake and Riley's alive. Now, the only downside is for illegal immigrants. They wouldn't all get in. But frankly, I think of that as a good thing. However, and this is the problem, not all the deserving folks who would like to come in will get in. And if you have compassion, that's a hard one. So what can we do to help alleviate that? I mean, compassion demands that we do what we can to help, doesn't it? Well, folks, this may surprise you, but the first step is to build a wall. Let me explain why. Building a wall is shrewd. It is wise. It is compassionate, and here's why. Once the border is truly secure, it will force Congress, the Senate, and the President to come up with a viable and compassionate immigration plan that welcomes deserving immigrants into our American family, but really weeds out the riffraff. Folks, until the wall is built, the politicians will keep on squabbling and finger-pointing. Building a wall will force them to act, and that is both wise and compassionate. We need hardworking, God-fearing immigrants. Why? Because of the estimated 50 million aborted babies, we need them as much as they need us. We need immigrants who want to contribute, and they need us to give them a chance. Folks, but keep in mind, we don't want killers. We don't want drug dealers, gang members, rapists, pedophiles, criminals, or freeloaders. You see, this is the land of opportunity, not the land of handouts. We can't welcome everybody in, but under the current open border regime, the poorest of the poor cannot afford to come anyway. They don't have the money to bribe the cartels to bring them in, or even to allow them to come in. See, the cartels not only bring people in, they keep some people out if they can't pay. You see, the open border policy today excludes the truly poor from other countries. And compassion demands that we welcome in those that we can as fairly as we can. And folks, we can't do everything, but we can go a long way down that road. It's not perfect, but it no longer considers the welfare of illegal immigrants as more important than the safety, welfare, and lives of our fellow Americans. It will not regard the well-being of illegal immigrants as more important than the lives of the other Lake and Rileys who are out there today. See, 1 Timothy 5:7 says that he who does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. Now, that statement was directed at families, but I think the principle applies on a national scale as well. So let's make sure we don't forget to take care of our own in the process of helping others. Now, folks, this is an example of what it means to be as shrewd as a snake, but as innocent as a dove. Jesus commands us to be both compassionate and wise, because compassionate without wisdom makes you unwise. It's what the Bible calls being a fool. But the question is, what can you start doing today? Well, first, stand up and speak up for the Lake and Rileys. You know, for the families of fentanyl addicts, be gracious, but be clear and refuse to be intimidated. Secondly, support financially overseas missions, especially overseas missions that unambiguously help to proclaim Jesus while seeking to help the poor and the downtrodden in other countries. You see, widespread poverty in a nation is usually caused by some element of cultural brokenness. In Latin America, it's the morbida. I did almost a whole podcast on that one. In Africa, it's fatalism. You know, whatever will be, will be. It rarely has much to do with natural resources. And if you don't address that brokenness with the gospel on an individual level, not much change will come for the better over time. 10 years from now, we'll be dealing with the same problems we're dealing with today. You see, the gospel changes people and cultures from the inside out. Third thing you can do is go on short-term missions. Go on short-term missions to help build local churches and homes in Jesus' name. And in the process, give locals the opportunity to begin a relationship with the God who loves them. And fourth, vote. Folks, vote. Vote for politicians who you think will use both compassion and wisdom on this issue. Now, it'll probably take a little bit of research on your part, you know, looking at the stated positions and, more importantly, looking at their voting records. Now, if you go to ivoterguide.com, they can help you with that. But it probably means you have to do a little bit of research. But go check out ivoterguide.com. Now, folks, we are in a crisis today because we, the people, hired corrupt politicians. Corrupt politicians who do not exercise wise compassion, at least on this issue. Folks, it's time to fire them. We need to fire them. So how do we do that? We do that by voting wisely in this election cycle and encouraging others to do the same. Now, the fifth action you can take, and it's the most important action of all of them, and that's to pray. You see, action without prayer is foolish. It makes you a fool. It's telling God that you can fix the immigration challenge without his help. Good luck with that. Don't be a fool. Pray. Pray for the immigrants. Pray for the thousands of Americans who have been assaulted. Pray for the families of the deceased. Pray for the fentanyl addicts and their family. Pray for the girls who have been sex trafficked. But most importantly, pray for God's wisdom to know what to do. Don't be a fool. Pray. You see, folks, God is the issue in every issue, especially when it comes to issues like illegal immigration. We need God's wisdom and help. This is Brad Bright. Thanks for joining me today. And as always, if you found this podcast helpful, please like, subscribe, or share. God bless.